Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, and I'll be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and we're so glad that you took time out to join us tonight. If you're just tuning in and you're one of our co-hosts, go ahead and press 1 on your dial. We will be glad to have you join us. Let's go ahead and start out with the Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always good to have you.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here, and I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say about the topic tonight.
All right, excellent. We'll come back to Ms. J momentarily so she can give us our disclaimer for the evening. Let's go ahead and welcome, as often as usual, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on board.
Well, it's great to be on, Dr. Walker, and I'm just excited, you know, as aforementioned, you know, the topic we're going to be discussing tonight, and if I just might say in the next few seconds or so, we really appreciate the efforts of everyone in supporting our endeavors. You know, in November, we was able to help quite a few people with 20 gift cards, and also I'm very excited, but December is here, and we want to get from 25 to 30, you know. So we appreciate everybody's prayers. You know, it's been cold, you know, all across the nations, you know. And, you know, these kids, and you know, they need, you know, socks and blankets and beanie hats and T-shirts and socks and underwear, so on and so forth. So we'll talk about that a little later. But if you want to continue in giving, Dr. Walker has started the ball rolling with $300, and others has given equally as well. But you can call our special phone number that we have to make your contributions, and that'll be given to you a little later on. So on that note, thank you very much. God bless you, and we're looking for a great show tonight.
All right, well, thanking you. Let's go ahead and welcome Darren Deedy to tonight's broadcast. Darren Deedy.
Hello, good evening. I'm glad to be here tonight. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's go ahead and welcome Sparkles and give us a few information, and that'll be followed by Ms. J giving us the disclaimer.
Good evening, Dr. Walker and the co-host and everyone listening tonight. I am looking forward to the topic of discussion and everybody's perspective on the topic.
Okay, so we ready for a disclaimer?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
All right, excellent. We certainly appreciate that, Ms. J, as always. Let's go ahead and also welcome Demas Lear. Demas Lear, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Great to be here tonight and looking forward to a blessed show.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, how are you?
I'm in a sign of wonderful. What a great time to be here this evening. Looking forward to the show.
All right, great. We're so glad to have all of you all. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is there something wrong with this generation of youth? Ms. J, I want to bring you in here first. I mean, that kind of question, we've got noise in somebody's background. If you'll be so kind to mute your phone if you're with a delegation of other individuals, we would certainly appreciate that. Ms. J, let me bring you in here and first ask you, I mean, why would we even ask this question? Like, it's an inference, or we're implying that something might be wrong with this generation of youth. I mean, why would we even ask this kind of question on the air?
You know, I think we probably ask because we see our youth getting in so much trouble, not thinking things out, just doing things that are so different that unbelievable that, you know, seem like they're lost out there. But I want to quickly say I don't think that there's something wrong with them personally. Once I thought about that thing, you know, because we can't blame them because they're doing what they're taught or what they see in their environment. Plus, they got so many challenges these days, you know, school harder, social media, crime, violence, and the bullying is terrible. So they got so much to face with no guidance, I think, from us as adults.
So Ms. J, are you justifying this for them? There's not something so much wrong with them, but they're justified in their behavior? Is that what I'm hearing, Ms. J?
No, I'm not justified. I'm saying that we as the older generation are causing a lot of this. You know, we put them out there a lot of time to feed for themselves, you know. You know, like you might grow up in an environment where your parents just leave you out there to take care of yourself, you know, instead of you sitting them down, giving them the wisdom and guidance and try to work with your child. They try to get the school system a lot of time, or use the school system to raise your child versus you raise your child at home. So I'm not defending them, but, you know.
Right, I understand. So, Ms. J, you're saying we the older generation. So how is it our fault all of a sudden? I mean, we're probably at
eight,
have grandchildren. So, I mean, I would think that, you know, I'm thinking, looking at my kids and like, all I had to do was look at them cross-eyed, and they knew to get in line. So, I mean, how is it my fault now, all of a sudden, this generation here, if something is not wrong with them?
It's the fault of the parent. Like you said, you can look at yours, and they can see don't be to do nothing wrong. But if you got them parents out there that are afraid to say something to that kid because they want to be their best friend, you know, that's where it starts there, too. You know, be an adult. You know, do what you need to do to chastise your child, you know. But sometimes you can't do it, but you need to do your part as a parent.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're just joining us. Tonight's topic is a deep one. Is there something wrong with this generation of you? Rick to the Rescue, I want to bring you in here. Rick to the Rescue, I mean, are we who might be older from different planets that, you know, we're like, maybe they're just normal, and we're just outdated? What is it, Ricky, the rescue, in your opinion?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I truly feel it doesn't matter which generation come. The previous generations always, or if I want to put it in this perspective, tend to always, you know, say that about the other generation. I think because when things are new and fresh and it seems like, you know, things are getting worse and worse and worse, I don't really think it's a particular generation. I think it, you know, boils down to everyone.
All right. Okay, let's bring in Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, do you think everything is, we just don't understand them? Like, I think it was Will Smith in his Fresh Prince segment episodes that his song came out and said, parents just don't understand. Demas there, do parents understand? I mean, is there something wrong with the parents?
It depends on what kind of parent you are. You know, it's like Mr. J said, some parents want to be your best friend and try to smoke weed and all that other stuff with you and try to be cool with you and be down with you. But missing is the parents of, you know, like she said, chastising your kid, keeping them in order, and being an adult. I mean, I agree with that. You know, that's missing in today's society. Plus, the kids got social media, and everybody's about respect. You can't disrespect them in no kind of way. They really do something. That's why a lot of kids are getting 20, 30 years in prison then, because they're trying to keep that respect persona in front of their classmates or who they hang with, and they don't want to be punked out and all that other stuff. So they got a lot to deal with these days.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go in here. Pastor Rowe, let's bring you in here and get your thoughts on this here. Pastor Rowe, the Bible even tells us that each generation will get weaker and wiser. I mean, is it time for the older generation to move out of the way and let the young people take charge when, I mean, could you see yourself going to a medical doctor and the doctor's only 27 and, you know, they like, you wonder if they're ready for this. What do you think, Pastor Rowe?
Well, Dr. Walker, you know, I just feel, you know, that, you know, the adults, you know, should provide the leadership, you know, for this present generation. A lot of things is going in that can negative influence or affect our young people, and as aforementioned, you know, drugs and so on and so forth, you know. But, you know, Scripture does say, if my people that are called by not my name will humble themselves and pray, that God will forgive the sins and heal the land. You know, so we need to set the example with more prayer and setting the proper example as it's in our Bible. So that's my thoughts on that. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, but is he talking to the young generation? Because he doesn't give them wisdom. He doesn't give the young generation wisdom because they wouldn't know what to do with that. So what people is he referring to that are called by his name? He will heal their nation, their land. So, I mean, how does that tie in with this generation of youth? I'm just asking.
Well, each generation get, wicker and wiser. But, you know, you can't limit God. You know, you think of David. You know, he was a very young person. But God gave him, and Solomon, you know, God gave them wisdom. You know, God is not limited who he give wisdom to, you know, but I still think that, you know, we have a responsibility to lead and guide the way. And that's one thing, you know, I like about what you are doing on this show, you know, set an example, you know, to reach out and help people. And people are showing their appreciation, you know, so the adults got to set the example for the younger ones. And so we're thankful for what you are doing to set example for all of us. Dr. Walker, back to you.
Well, I appreciate all of what everybody else is doing to set the example also for all of us. I think each one of us is on this show are leaders in their own right, and I'm certainly learning from you all. Darren Deedy, let's bring you in here and ask you, Darren Deedy, is there something wrong with this generation of youth, or is it something wrong with the older folks?
I think it's the way the older folks are bringing up their children. There seems to be a lack of communication from other children and a politeness, like thank you, please, and being courteous and kind to other people. They just, I don't know if it's just my opinion. I work in the public, so I see them running around acting like a bunch of hyenas or whatever you want to call it. But they're just out of control, and there's just seems to be no discipline, and they're I think they hit it earlier on the head when they said they just want to be with their friend. They want to be their friend, and they don't like to discipline their children. And some people don't like to discipline. They say they shouldn't have to be disciplined. I'm not saying physically, but they should teach them manners.
Okay, I agree with that. Sparkles, let's bring you in here. Sparkles, I was on a plane traveling, had a long-distance flight, and this parent had their, the kid had to be about four, just kicking my seat behind me. I really, and I, listen, I got grandkids, and I love children, but I just don't like to sometimes sit where kids are, especially when the parents are not in control. So after a while of this activity, and the parent thinks it's funny, I had to turn around and ask him, kind of, Miss, would you please, please not let your kid kick my chair? Well, he's just a kid. He don't know any better. So, Sparkles, what am I supposed to do? I got a long flight, and my back is already hurting. What am I supposed to do? Just understand that this child is just bad because his mother says it's okay?
No. I mean, you, in my viewpoint, in my opinion, you did the right thing, but it's incumbent upon the parent to take charge. And, yeah, the child is a child. Discipline the child. You don't let them behave improperly and then you just expect everybody else to accept their bad behavior. No, you're the parent and you teach them. So
okay.
The parents need to teach.
Okay, Missy, I want to bring you in here. Now, the parents still didn't stop the kid. Now you're thinking, we assume that the parent's going to do the right thing. So, Ms. J, I want to bring you in here because I know, you know, you don't tolerate foolishness. And I try not to, but, I mean, here we are in the air, 37,000 feet up, and you're trying to be kind, and you just, I pay for that seat. Ms. J, now what? The child is still kicking my seat, Ms. J. Now, if that's you, Ms. J, and the mother's like, well, it's just a kid, you know? Well, she could have changed seats, and then it would have been kicking somebody else. Or, you know, tell her, Miss J, what do you do? What do you do, Miss J?
Yeah. Well, me, you know, I of course ask them first, and I see where she don't care. She said what you said, you know, and I'm up in the air, and I ain't ready for them to pull over and arrest me. You know, pull over to bring the plane down and arrest me. So I'm going to call the stewardess. You know, come on, we'll call the stewardess. And I said, ma'am, you know, this kid is, you know, really kicking me in my back. I already have back issues. Do you have another seat, or will you talk to them? Let them handle that, you know. Because, you know, I'll let them handle. Of course, the stewardess would say something. Ma'am, please stop the child. Yeah, the child going to keep on. I'm going to keep on ringing that stewardess button. I'm going to let her handle it.
Okay, so then, Miss J, which is, in fact, what I did. But now, Miss J, the parent is back there talking about you. Well, this lady, you know, she don't understand. She must not have any kids. She must not like kids. You know, why she got to be so mean and report my kid? What's wrong with her? Now you hear all of this, Miss J. Now what, Miss J? Come on.
Come on, Dr. Walker. I'm on airplane, so this time I'm real good. You know, maybe if we was on land, I probably would have said something else. But I'm going to ignore this lady because she's ignorant. Her child going to end up being just like her because I said earlier, you know, them kids is not their fault. It's how they've been taught or what they've been seeing and doing in the environment. So I can't blame those kids always.
Okay, Rick the Rescue, I want to bring you in here. Rick the Rescue, you seem to be very calm. I mean, I'm not as calm as you are, Rick the Rescue. And now how would you handle this? Which I did tell the stewardess. So, Rick the Rescue, what are you going to do when that parent's now talking about you? It's like, he's a grown man, strong looking. Why he got to worry about it? It can't be hurting him that bad. It's a little kid. The kid's just having fun kicking his chair. Maybe the kid likes to, you know, is just playing around. Ricky the Rescue, what do you do? You're the therapist, Ricky the Rescue.
Yeah, I'm surprised that stewardess wouldn't be able to support in that situation. You would think that, you know, she would. And oftentimes when you're on that plane, you know, they're thinking about safety. So, you know, I would think maybe you could try to reason with the stewardess, but you would probably have to try to keep yourself calm. You know, you're on those planes, and, you know, they banned you from being able to fly and things of that nature. You can really put yourself in those type of situations, so you really have to think about the potential consequences you could be facing as well.
You know, that's a good point, and I think that's what Ms. J is saying. And I do think about that because I don't know if you all look at some of these videos out here with all these flight wars that go on. I mean, people are actually crazy and 37,000 feet above Earth. And, I mean, they're crazy. And they know the federal the feds are going to be waiting for them when that plane lands. And so here you go. I just read in the news this week, somebody from a past case is suing Mike Tyson for hitting him, I think it was in 2020 or 2022, for $450,000. So, I mean, Ms. J, why should we have to be good when somebody's kid, even outside of a plane, when, I mean, a group of little boys, and they weren't so little, they were probably fifth or sixth graders. I'm walking. Let me give you this scenario. Let me go to Ricky the Rescue just before I go back to Ms. J. Ricky the Rescue, you're doing your daily walk, exercising, and these little boys, three or four of them on bicycles, they see you as an older gentleman, and they start throwing rocks at you. What do you do with that, Ricky the Rescue?
Well, you know, your immediate response may be to react and throw something back at them. You know, that's just normal in a sense, because sometimes, especially when you're in flight or fight, either you're going to run or you're going to fight, you know, you may freeze or you may try to bargain or fun, but you're going to have a response. So, you know, your body is designed to protect itself. That's what it's designed for. So that's going to be your immediate response. You may not even have the time, you know, the time to sit down and really think about, to consider what your actions are.
Well, you know, and the thing is, and I was a teacher for a number of years, and this was around the school and the neighborhood I lived. I used to walk, as I still walk, but I was walking the neighborhood, and these little boys, I had no idea who they were, and it shouldn't have mattered. But they were on, like, three bicycles, and two of them were on one, and they started throwing rocks at me. I couldn't even say anything to them. All I did was try to get out of the way of the rocks and rush home where they weren't following me. And say, because in my head, you know what I was thinking? That these little boys, if I had called the police, then Ricky Rescue, I'm going to stay with you for a second, and these little boys says he tried to do something to us. Now, how can you, all of these little boys are ganging up against you and telling the police that, because you know they're lying, but now what's your defense? What's your defense?
And it's hard for you to actually have a defense in that situation.
It's very hard for you to have a defense. It sure is. That happened to me. I've been calling the police, and I'm thinking, you know what? These little boys, I don't know where they are, but thank God none of the rocks hit me. And I said, if I call the police, then these boys were bad, obviously. And then I say, if I call the police, all they got to do is just lie and say this man said something to us or tried to touch us or something. And then now what? Ms. J, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, you see how dangerous it is out here?
Yeah, you can. I mean, yeah, that's serious. You know, my first thought, like you said, would be, well, me, I would have hollered at the gate, you know, what the heck you doing, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, come in where you live, you know. Then they kept throwing rocks. Yeah, I tried to get out the way, but now in the 22nd century here, I guess in the 22nd century, whatever. But we already got that phone in that hand, and I'm a good person for feminine stuff. I'm going to be talking and feminine. So right now you ain't no say that I'll try to do something to you, because I'm going to have some of that on film. So thank God for technology these days. I'm going to be running, talking, feminine. I'm going to be doing everything, yeah.
Now here's the other thing. You're videotaping children underage.
I'm videoing them rocks coming at me too, and me running. I'm doing it all, and I'm talking. They throwing the rocks. I'm running. You know, hey, I'm gonna have it all on now.
Let me tell you how bad these kids are. Excuse me, you all. I know they never taught us that in school, to say the kids are bad. You're supposed to attack the behavior, but I'm going after the behavior, because the behavior is who they are. They're bad. I mean, excuse me, you all, and that's just my opinion. Ms. J read the disclaimer. That's just my opinion. They're bad out here, and that's not all I want to say about them, but they're just bad. And let me tell you something. Now, you videotaping Ms. J, and all of a sudden now, again, now you're showing it to the police, and they're saying, you don't see it behind the scene. She tried to do something to us. These little kids, I'm telling you, that's the world we live in today. We're going to ask you to stand by. And then here's another scenario. Two teenagers. I'm walking in the same neighborhood. These kids had to be in high school. And there's three boys walking, three of them. And I'm just walking. Now, you don't you don't wait for them to move out of your way on the sidewalk. You got to move out of their way and walk in the grass, now, which is what I did. And then I could hear them as they pass by. You know, you get a feeling that something may not be right. Then I hear them, as soon as they pass me, one of them say, "You should have hit him. You should have hit him, bro. You should have hit him. You should have knocked that old man out." Demon Slayer, let me bring you in here. Demon Slayer, how are you going to handle that? You're just hearing this now, and I'm trying to walk faster now in case they change their mind and turn around. Three teenage boys.
That's why it's good to know martial arts, because, if I was in that position, I'd just tell them, like, let's go on and get some wrecking.
I do know martial arts.
I understand, these are minors. I don't care who they are. If somebody's threatening your life, you got to stand firm to them. I don't care who they are, a little boy or whoever. If you want to be a man, be a man. I mean, step up to the plate with it. That's why I say I'm not gonna let nobody try to hurt me or harm me in any kind of way. But these kids out here, you call them kids, they're kids. And that's the way I look at things. I'm looking at you. You're trying to end my life, and I'm gonna live another day to see my kids, my grandkids, and the rest of my generation. That's why I look at things. So I'm not looking at you like as no kid. I'm looking at you as like animals. When they come at you, they don't come at you just to come at you. They come at you to kill and eat you. And that's why I look at things.
Okay, so Dima said, if you're a teacher, you're brought in. This would be to speak for the day, to talk to some troubled youth. And now they start making, some of the little boys start making fun at you, and one of them say, "You don't know what you're talking about. You just, you know, you da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And then they come up there in your face, two or three of them, because they're probably a little gang, and they might be eighth graders. And so they say, "Oh, you're just an old man," and then they're ranking on you, and all the other kids are laughing. And then one of them throws something up there and hits you in the head. What do you do, Demon Slayer, with that?
I've been in a position too. That's why I can tell you right now. I've been in a position that talk to kids like that. They're going to talk to kids, and you just got to understand that their mind frame. Kids are different from each other. It's a lot of kids that might try you, but you got to stand firm as what it is. Because if you show any weakness to that type of kid, he's going to run over you. And you also got the other kids that respect older people. So you got to take it like it is. That's why I say, if somebody come at you like that, okay, they want to try you, then you got to step to the plate and say, okay, then, hey, you know, you want to be an adult, I'm going to treat you like an adult. You have to stand firm. You cannot show any weakness out here.
If that kid threw something and hit you upside the head and it hurt, it actually drew blood from your head, and you saw the kid that do it, Demon Slayer, what action, if any, would you immediately take? You gonna get that kid?
No, I'm gonna step up to you and say, "You throw another thing at me, and then we're gonna handle our business."
Somebody else.
It is what it is.
Dr. Walker.
That's why I said, you only got two things you're gonna do. You're gonna either stand firm what you do, or then if the kid knows at these times, if they throw something at you and you don't do anything, they're going to keep on throwing something at you. Pretty soon the whole class will be throwing something at you. What you going to do then?
I know. Having been a classroom teacher for 36 years, I had to actually try to get security, walk away, because I've never seen, this is just my experience now, I've never seen a teacher win a situation when they hit a kid back. I've never seen a teacher win a situation when they hit a kid back. And, yes, I tried to stop a fight and I was hit. And some of the people used to ask me all the time, because I worked in certain communities, you know, that were rough. And they say, "If a child, you know, those bad kids, if one of them hit you, I would jack them up." That's what they would say. I say, "I would not hit a kid back, because you're not going to win. You're going to go to jail." Miss J, go ahead. Talk to us.
Yes.
And then we're going to get to where you are.
I was going to tell you of this incident. I know of a guy. He was a police officer, and he did substitute teaching in middle school, 6th, 7th grade. Bad boys. Mm-hmm. And one particular boy was so bad, he disrupted class all up, messing with people, da-da-da-da-da. So this particular guy called him up to the desk, and because he was disrespecting the substitute teacher. So he called him up. He whispered in his ear, "If you don't sit your so-and-so down, I'm going to kick your so-and-so." And he gave him that look and everything. He had no more problem about that guy. I said, hey, that kid's on his tail. He said, "Hey, that's his word against mine. Ain't nobody heard me say nothing."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes you can cool him down with that physical and out loud stuff. So he said he had no more points by that boy. So he's steering him.
All right, somebody's quiet. If you'll put your phone on mute, please. Thank you. All right. If you want to chime in to the conversation tonight, press 1 on your dial. Let's go to, I'm not sure who, 305-527. Who do we have with us?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Walker. It's me. Another phone.
Okay. Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah.
Sister Marjorie,
yes,
if you were substitute teaching and one of the kids called you an offensive name, what would you do?
Wow. Wow. Because nowadays you have to be so careful what you say and what you do. So what I probably would do, wow. This is a hard one. I probably at first ignore them, you know, just do like I didn't hear, but if they said it again, then I know I'd say something. Because as Demon Slayer said, you know, as he said, sometimes if the child hits you and you don't hit them back, then more people hit you again, and I believe in that. You know, so
Miss Cross,
you know,
are you telling me you're going to hit the child back?
No. I wouldn't hit the child back. But I told my children when they were going to school, I said, you don't hit somebody first, but if they hit you, hit them back. That's
right.
What
but
I said.
We're talking about you now as an adult. As an adult.
No. As an adult, I would not hit the child back. But I would definitely talk to them and talk to the parents about it.
You think
you
that
know?
These
but,
kids are really listening? The nice topic is there something wrong with this generation of youth? And you know, everybody
wrong.
Has a different experience. I taught school for 36 years. And then I ran an alternative education program for 6 of those last years. And I'm saying this, listen, I didn't know it was that bad out here, you know, because I didn't experience that. Of course, many of us can say we didn't experience that in our homes with our kids. Let's get to the story, you all, real quickly here. Ms. Cross, please stand by.
Okay.
And tonight's characters are Nell, his wife Maggie, and their children, Oscar and Pearl, okay? They've got 2 kids, boy and a girl. And Neil and Maggie, they've been married for over 21 years. They have a son, Oscar, 17. He's a high school junior. And they have a daughter, 15, Pearl. The parents are ordinary parents with a typical family with their share of family problems. Now, Neil and Maggie, these are the parents, have several friends with children of similar ages. Unfortunately, it appears that Neil and Maggie, along with their friends, are experiencing the same types of issues with their children. The issues are solely based on the youth seeming to have a sense of entitlement with no fear of consequences for any disobedience to either their parents, school, church, community, or the like. As discussed often among Neil, Maggie, and their friends, they're having a difficult time understanding why today's youth appear to be so out of control. This appears to be so common even with the children who attend church on a regular basis. Now, here's a few of the common problems that many parents are facing with their children. Number one, of course, there is the sense of entitlement. Number two, parents have tried desperately to spoil them because they wanted more for their kids than they had for themselves. Parents are more inclined to be their children's best friends. That's what they're trying to do. In some cases, some parents may be attempting to vicariously live their lives through their children. Number five, some parents don't know how to be parents. Number six, some parents may be having children too young themselves. Number seven, society has appeared to have taken a great deal of power from the parents. Number eight, peer pressure is always on the increase or rise. That's one of the biggest problems kids have. All right, somebody is pressing a button. If you all would mute your phone, please. All right, hang on. Let me see if I can mute. All right, I think we got it. Okay, let's go back to the story. Sorry about that, you all. Thank you for muting. Number nine, family, home, church, school, and community no longer seem to be a vital role in raising children as it takes a village. It doesn't seem to be that way anymore. And then number 10, there's a lack of sincere parental involvement with their children's school. The parents aren't involved in the children's school anymore. Lack of spirituality and worship in the home on a daily or routine basis. Do you know any families that worship in the home together? Today's youth are not necessarily being taught of the Lord. That's another issue. The family dynamics are not the same as times past. Parents and children are not sitting and eating meals together as a family. Technology, unto the cell phone, has replaced individual and family communications. The schools no longer have control over the efforts or the lack of efforts the children put in, because there's no fear of failing a grade. Because guess what? A child can be administratively promoted for just about any reason. Number 17, parental and teacher fears of any type of governmental regulations or repercussions in disciplining today's youth. And finally, number 18, statistics are indicating a large influence in single parenting homes. The list goes on and on, of course, and Maggie and Neil and their friends are in fear of the future for this out-of-control generation of youth. So let's go back in here. Ricky the Rescue, let's bring you in. Ricky the Rescue, with all of these issues and the list goes on and on, who's going to be man in the future? Is that something we need to be thinking about? Seriously?
Yes, I also have had the privilege of working with children in all settings. When I say in all settings, meaning education settings, mental health hospitals, as well as in the community. And I must say that there maybe should be some anxiety related about as we get older, we have to start thinking about, you know, the way in which the youth would be our doctors, you know, our firemen. The way society is now, we have to realize this generation, what's considered Generation Alpha now, this generation is the first generation to completely experience a society with full technology. Prior to that, you know, people can kind of remember a time where, AOL came or the internet came, but this is the first society of a generation that experienced just technology. And so, to go out there and Google anything and not have to go research it in the library, this is a time when most of the most inaccurate information is going to people. And we have to think about it from the perspective of during the learning years, a lot of that information is being presented. It doesn't matter if it's in grade school, in college, or wherever, but when you start to have a lot of inaccurate information that's being presented to this generation, we have to be concerned about how they're going to help us in the future.
That's a very, very, very good point. So now as we look into this here, Darren Deedy, let's bring you back in here, Darren Deedy, to ask this question. Do you think with a generation of children, young people who will not even listen to people, how are we going to be able to reach them as an older society, in your opinion?
I am lost for thoughts. I had the same conversation with a coworker. You know, it was Thanksgiving dinner, and they had a nephew of theirs come over, and the mother was sitting right next to, it would be his great aunt, and said, "Did you say hi to Aunt Gigi?" He just looked, and he had this knit baseball cap on with long hair and just turned around and walked away, rolled his eyes and walked away. Never said anything to her all day long. And I thought, oh, my God, that's just horrible, but this is what are they calling this, Generation X or something? I mean, they're just so non-responsive to anything. I'm not sure. I'm lost for words on what we can do with these children, besides you mentioned, you know, bringing God back into the home. But it's a little too late, I think, at this particular point.
Okay. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. So, you know, Pastor Roland, I'm going to bring you in here. And we're running out of time, you all. We got to really speed this up. Pastor Ro, I mean, can we really blame the parents? There's no guarantee how your kid's going to turn out, even when you, you know, do all the things that you think are right. Can we really blame the kids? I mean, can we blame the parents? Can we blame the parents? Pastor Ro.
Well, you know, a scripture does say train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart, you know. And in terms of, you know, these kids attacking you or something like that, I always ask the question, it's another part, you know, the flesh always war against the spirit. But WWJD, what would Jesus do, you know? And, you know, what happened when they one of the disciples, somebody was going to, you know, assault Jesus, and he got his sword out and cut his ear off, and Jesus said, hey, put away your sword. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword, you know. So I try to take the approach, you know, along the line of what you were saying, what would Jesus do, and do what I feel that Jesus would tell me to do, to resist evil, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The only way you can resist him is with the word of God. Back to you, Dr. Walker. That's my
okay,
thoughts
on
that.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, now, so what would Jesus do? Pastor Rowe, if these little boys on these bicycles are throwing rocks at you, what would Jesus do? What would you do?
Well, my flesh, you know, would say, you know, me and you always talk, I come from Avenue D, and it's a lot of Avenue D's in every, you know, but I have to resist that Avenue D mentality, you know. I'm bad. If somebody else, you know, better, you know. But I try to do, resist it, you know, walk away from it, you know, or whatever. That's the best thing to do, you know, have the spirit of Christ and do it the Jesus way. That's the only thing I can say about that, Dr. Walker.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you back in here. Miss J, I mean, in 36 years of school system, you get to see a lot, and probably nothing that surprised you. There was a fight on the PE field one day, and a couple of girls jumped this one girl. Okay, well, the next morning, the girl came back to school, and because students broke it up, but teachers got wind of it later. So the next morning, there was another fight on the PE field because the kids had to all congregate on the PE field before they could go into the building. And many kids get to school like an hour early because parents drop them off because they have to go to work so early. So this time, the next day, the fight was with the same girls, but it was two girls who were jumping this girl again, but it wasn't a girl who was fighting this time. It was the girl's mother fighting those two girls, and she had a baseball bat with her. Miss J, now, she went there to defend her daughter against these two girls. So who do you think won that fight, Miss J? I'm asking you, Miss J, who won that fight? The mother had a baseball bat against these two girls. So who won that fight?
It depends on how big those girls were.
Who won the battle? Huh?
It depends on how big those two girls were.
Okay, they were middle kids.
Faster.
They were middle school kids. Even if they were
big.
Oh, kids.
Lord. That mama, she
was middle school girl.
And, the mama, and hopefully she was riding in the back of a car with a woman, and she couldn't open the door. You know, because that's
that mother had that baseball bat, and she hit those girls and stood up with that baseball bat and told them to come on at her again. Come on.
She mad because those kids beat up her child or whatever. She said, well, I get
right.
it for you. You know.
All right. So who won the fight, Miss Jane?
Probably that
or
mama did,
battle?
But I don't think she won the battle, though, but she may have won the fight.
Okay. Miss Jane, she did not win the
really?
Battle. You're right. Because she went out there. These are middle school kids.
Yeah.
And, yes, they're bad. They're 12, 13-year-olds, and then this grown mother in her 30s comes out there to defend her daughter, right, the next day, which is premeditated, okay, to defend
yeah.
her child. And now guess who went to jail, Miss J?
That mama
mother.
Did. She should have went there and she would have threw the key away. And then somebody need to beat her butt. She's ridiculous.
Okay, those
and then,
mothers,
and then everybody don't need to be a parent.
Came the next day looking for her. The mother of those two girls, you see how it goes? The mother
yeah.
of those two girls came the next day looking for her. You got a bat against my girl? Miss Jane,
yeah.
talk to me.
A true mother would have handled all of that, you know, in the justice system or whatever. You know, a true person that got any kind of respect for themselves and for their child trying to raise them correctly. So, like I said, in this case, product of environment, They're going to continue doing all that kind of crazy stuff and end up where? All of them going to end up in jail eventually. Even the girls,
okay.
they're girls.
That situation got so bad that the daughter, who the two girls jumped, the message, you know how things go all over the school,
yeah.
Like wildfire quickly, within an hour. And that it got so bad that that little girl was so embarrassed. Your mama had to come out here and fight with a bat. She had to come out here fighting children. Now the kids all of a sudden realize they're children. Your mama came out here, all the boys were messing with the little girl, the girls at the whole school. Your mama came out here, ooh. If that had been my parents would have came out here and beat you. They had to, that girl had to be withdrawn from the school and put at another school. Yes, she did.
That mother should have contacted those girls' mother. They should have talked that thing out and worked that thing out. That's the way you mm-hmm. do that, you know. And
Ms.
then
Jane,
dare your daughter to act a fool in school again.
You know what, Ms. Jane, you are right on point. And, you know, I don't want to make this about me, but I would welcome you all to tell your experiences. Also, my son was in third grade, and I did teach him how to fight as well, but only if it's absolutely necessary, right? So this little boy hit my son, and he was bigger than my son. My son didn't want to get in trouble, didn't want to fight, and, you know, he didn't even want to stand up to fight. He just kind of walked away and said, I'll tell Dad later. He was in third grade. The boy was bigger. So when I got home, my son told me, and he knew where the boy lived. So, Miss Jane, it was in walking distance. So I took my son, we walked to the house, and I knocked on the door, and I said, I'm looking for the father of, let's call the little boy David. I'm looking for David's father. And so a woman came to the door, and I didn't even ask for the mother. I wanted the father. So I said, are you David's father? I said, well, listen, sir, your son hit my son in school today. And I'm coming to you as man, and Miss Jane, my voice is kind of strong. I come to you as a man on man. Now, I would like you to handle my boy didn't hit him back, but I'd like you to handle your business with your son. He didn't fight your son this time, but he can fight. And I say, now, if you don't handle your son and he hits my son again, you and me gonna have a problem. Ms. J, I said, I probably said you and me. I should have said you and I, but it didn't matter at that time. You and me gonna have a problem. He said, you know what? I appreciate you coming to me, man on man. He said, I'll take care of the business. And then he made his son apologize, and then we never had a problem again. And they lived right around the corner. So, Ms. J, did I do the right thing, or did I tell that father, and you're going to have a problem?
Yeah, you should go talk to that parent. And, you know, parent to parent, you know, because the children doing what they shouldn't be doing, and respect for parents should take over and take control of it and end it.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rick to the rescue. Can you do something like that today and go there and to the man's house if he's there and say, if you can't handle your business with your kid, man, you're going to have a problem. Can I do that today, Rick to the rescue?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that, we have now lived in a world now where the face-to-face interaction has really decreased. And so, respectfully, a lot of people do not know how to truly interact face-to-face, and a lot of arguments happen on social media, as an example. So when you actually get face-to-face with a lot of people, it can be so unpredictable. You don't know how that situation is going to go, because to have that conversation then, you know, it may have been safer in the respect of maybe someone even spoke to that gentleman before about how to conduct themselves. You typically don't get that as much now.
Mm-hmm. In today's world, I would not have done that today's time. I would have gone to the school the following day, met with the administrator, and asked him, can we have a family conference? And I know, because I have been in the system so long, I know now that if that administrator doesn't do anything, there's an advocacy group that you can call, a parent advocacy group, and they will get you immediate answers. That's what it was in Florida when I was there. And so, but today's time, I don't see myself stepping out to somebody's house and saying, me and you going to have a problem, because I just can see that. Demon Slayer, would you say that I did the right thing back then as opposed to now?
I think you did the right thing. I think your approach was kind of wrong, because people think different. You know, it's like you came up on the guys say, okay, me and you're going to have a problem. Some guys want a problem like that. So if he were to say, okay, then you coming to my house like you want to do something, I know me and your kids are having a beef, but you're coming at me disrespecting me in a way at my own house, and I'm not going to put up with it. Suppose he would have interacted like that with you. I see. So it's like today, your approach is very important now. So the way you approach somebody with professionalism or not like threatening or demanding your way, I think is very important now.
And I agree with you, Demas. I wholeheartedly agree with you. That approach that I took back then, because I was so upset. Now, if somebody hit your kid, you are going to be upset. You really are, knowing that your kid didn't even defend themselves. So I'm certain that my approach, but I came across as this, you know, I'm upset. And if he wanted to do something, you know, I was at the point now where we can do something now because I'm getting ready to retaliate for my child, you know. And if he's not man enough, then him and I need to have this battle right then and there. But you're right. Today's time, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't even take that approach. So I appreciate your honesty. Let's go here. Sparkles. Let's go back to our story for a second with Neil and Maggie and their children. I mean, these children just not even listening to their parents. They won't even make up their beds in the morning, and it's been like that for years. Now, but they have a sense of entitlement. They're not even afraid for you to put them on punishment anymore. So, Sparkles, what do you do with that?
Well, I would actually say, hey, this is my house. You're not paying no rent or anything, so you're going to abide by my rules and all and stuff like that. So be firm and to make them do what they're supposed to be doing. No exceptions. The parent has to be parent. Can't be a friend to your child. You are the parent. You're instructed to teach them and to raise them.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. You know what? We got to go real fast now. I forgot. Look at the time. Who would like to voluntarily close us out tonight?
I don't know why I would just.
I didn't hear that. Who would like to voluntarily close us out? Okay, I guess we'll just take it through if nobody wants to voluntarily close us out. I guess we don't know what to say about today's youth. If you change your mind, just let me know while we're going through this here. We got to go real fast now. The comments that have come in here. This email right here, and she says, you know, Dr. Walker, with this show, this is a very interesting show. I think something is wrong with this generation of youth. She said, several years ago, I got on my middle school daughter and disciplined her, and she was talking back to me, and I ended up slapping her, and, you know, she ended up slapping me back. She had a fist. She says, I don't know what's wrong with today's youth. And she said, even to this day, my daughter and I are not close as we used to be, and she's a grown woman now. Miss J, let me give you that one. Miss J, this middle school child slapped her mama back. Miss J.
She bit out of my foot. I'm serious. You know, it's funny you said that. My kids don't know how to. Okay, good example. I have a granddaughter with them. They can't get her to take naps. But when she come to my house, she take them naps. And they said, Mama, how did you get her to do that? I said, I tell her to go take a nap. They said, but we do that. I said, it's how you said it to her. Y'all be playing, trying to compromise too much. Be firm. I said, go take a nap now. You know, and it's this not only this new generation, but kids that's in their 40s, I don't know what they are, the millennials or whatever they are. Even they can't chastise their own kids, but us, what are we? We're the baby boomers. The baby boomers, hey, we don't have that problem. Like you said, we just look at them. So maybe some of these newer generation needs to take a few pointers from us when it comes to controlling their kids. Because we didn't have all them problems back in the baby boomer days.
All right, Miss J, stand by because this next comment targets you. This says, Dr. Walker, no disrespect, but I want to see what Miss J says about this. She says, my 13-year-old daughter, who's in middle school, I've been trying for 3 or 4 years to get her to make up her room and clean up her room. Her room looks like a tornado came through it, and she just talks back. And I, you know, sometimes I want to knock the daylights out of her, but I'm afraid I might go to jail. Miss J, what should I do in a situation like this? I want to hurt that girl, but I know I can't. Miss J, she's asking
you.
You
know, all of this, like you said, this entitlement stuff. Show them that they are not entitled. All this social media, all this stuff that they enjoying, that stuff will be gone. I'll be the soul, they phone. I'll be the games they play. I take that mess in a minute. And if you can't keep that room closed, you got to be serious and firm on it, you know. And then, number one, shoot, I might say your room is too dirty to even sleep in, so I don't know where you sleeping, you know. And I might not even let her go in a room. I could be that hard to her. Your clothes dirty. Okay. You better learn how to wash them, or else you'll be going to school with dirty clothes.
Miss J, they're going to report you to Children and Family Services.
Hey, I didn't touch her. She got a house. She got food. She got clothes. And I tell them, come in the house and see how she want to live versus how I want her to live. And
okay.
They won't report.
All right, we won't have a closing. We'll take this all the way through, but we gotta do a rush now. Now, Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here with this comment. Oh, my goodness, we got a lot of them tonight. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. This male, he says, yes, honestly speaking, I believe this generation of youth are clearly all from another planet. The reason I say that is because they think they know more than anyone else. What do you say about that, Darren Deedy? Do they think they know more than anybody else?
You know, I don't believe that's – they might think that, but – I see they're the least qualified to say that for any kid that's been brought up since I've known. That today they're just out of control and they're really quite dumb. I can't come up with a better word. But.
Okay. Sparkle, let's bring you in here. This one, this female, she says, I heard her say it before. If you want to know something, ask a teenager. They think they know everything. This generation of you do not want to listen to anyone. Sparkle, do you think that that's true? Or we're too old and outdated. What do you think?
No, I think that they think they know everything. And we was like that, truth be told. Weren't we like that? Didn't we think
that we
knew more than our parents? Well, some of us might have thought that, oh, too old or whatever and all that stuff like that.
Mm.
But these kids nowadays are out of control, and they do think that they know everything and don't want to listen to nobody.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by on here. We got only about 2 minutes to go. You only got several more comments I want to get to. Let's go here now and give this one here to Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, just quickly here. This party writes in, this male, he writes in, he says, my grandchildren are all teenagers, and I have not seen anything like what I'm seeing today. They clearly don't listen to their parents about anything, but yet their parents are buying them everything they want, even when the parents can't afford it. Demon Slayer, what is going on? These parents are crazy.
Well, I think the way the parents do it, and then the grandparents try to teach them another way. Mine, with my grandkids, I think I have a very good rapport with them. I try to tell them the truth and be up front with them. And I think it's all the way you approach and the respect that the grandkids and your kids have for you, the way you live your life.
Okay, we're going to ask them about Pastor Will. I want to bring you in here real quickly, you all. We're almost out of time. This female, she says, these teenagers today feel they have a sense of entitlement. They want everything, and they want it right now, and there seems to be no stopping them. Pastor Rose, they want it right now. All right, Pastor Rose is just standing by. They want it right now. What do you think of that?
Who you say?
The teenagers, they want it right now. They don't want to wait for anything.
I ask them if they got a job, they can get it right now.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's see if Pastor Roll is still with us here. Pastor Roll, is still with us?
Yes, sir. I had it on mute, and I couldn't unmute it quick enough, you know. But, you know, we have to be firm and we have to be fair. You know, when our kids, you're not going to reward your children when they sassing you out, you know, disrespectful to you, you know, but if they are respectful and courteous and so on and so forth, then you don't mind giving them a little alliance. You know, here's something, you know, for doing this or doing that, you know, taking the trash out, so on and so forth, you know. But I would reward my kids when they do good, but I would not reward them when they're disrespectful. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, well, this last comment we'll be able to take because we've got to get off the air. Ricky to the Rescue, this one goes to you. This male writes in, he says, I personally think technology has a great deal to do with how the youth are clearly out of control today. They seem to have lost focus on taking time to communicate with each other and their parents, resulting in a further generational gap between the youth and the adults, even their teachers. He's talking about technology. Rick to Rescue, what do you say? And this will be our last words on it.
Yeah, I think technology has become the babysitters. Technology has become the teachers. Technology has also become the influencers that have almost created a society of followers. Like even if you look at like social media or you look at YouTube, everyone wants subscriptions. Everyone wants followers. So it's almost creating a society of all followers and no leaders. And so it's really sending the direction of society into a place where no one is able to necessarily think for themselves. And there was a time if there was something being followed, it was something of substance. So maybe you're a follower of a religion like Christianity. Maybe you're a follower of a fraternity or something to that extent. And, you know, that kind of transitioned over into some other things. But now it's more so about following an individual who has a perspective that's not really necessarily rooted in anything. It's pretty much opinion-based. And so now that we're in this opinion-based society, when you start talking about even when you're trying to raise some, you know, when you're raising the kids, there are so many different influences now where if you try to tell your child, as an example, about Santa Claus and make them believe in Santa Claus now, that's probably not going to happen because they're going to get the information from so many other sources. That's going to already eliminate that trust in that parent of a very young age. So if you look at it from that standpoint, you're trying to reprogram children at this day and age because they do not have the foundational trust because they're getting the information from YouTube, which we're allowing to be their babysitters.
All right. You know what? We're going to accept that on. We'll finish these other comments that are coming to the studio on tomorrow night with our program when the topic will be, are parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God? That's tomorrow night's topic, you all. Are parents failing their youth by not training them up according to the Word of God? You know, I've enjoyed all of you all on tonight's program. We are sorry that we went a couple of minutes over, but we certainly thank all of you. And we're going to ask that you join us here tomorrow night when the topic is going to be, are we failing our youth, our parents failing their youth, by not training them up according to the Word of God? Listen, until tomorrow night, and if you choose to bypass tomorrow night, we'll be back next week for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, and thank you, Ricky, to Rescue for that closing, that final number. I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night. That's the role.
Right.
And
good night.
Demons saying, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Sister Sparkles, give me a call.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Take care. Great show is beautiful. Keep safe. Keep well, everyone. Bye.
God bless you, Sister Marjorie.